You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Chairman James Comer today says that the Oversight Committee, has evidence that the president in the past communicated directly with foreign business associates of his son Hunter Biden many times. Curious if the White House and the president still stand behind his comment that he's never been involved and has never even spoken to his son about his business.
So I've been asked this question a million times. The answer is not going to change. The answer remains the same. The president was never in business with his son. I just don't have anything else to add.
Was never in business with his son. Was never in business with his son. He was never in business with his son. Remember, that's what she's saying. He was never, you know, it's so ridiculous. You guys are so ignorant asking him about this. He was never in business with his son. But that's not what was said before. Not what was said before. Huh. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the great pivot. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Just start your Tuesday. Although it feels like a Wednesday. Am I wrong? I swear to you, it feels like a Wednesday. I think we lived through Tuesday, but it was an alien event. I don't know. I mean, those alien, you know, them UFO things, that's tomorrow. All right, so welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can follow along. Listen live across the country. You can also watch the simulcast of Ye Show, Ye Ol' Show, on YouTube, Facebook. Always a good conversation at YouTube. And, DirecTV, channel 347. All right, so we got a number of things. We got a pretty packed show for you today. We're going to talk to the Missouri AG about Missouri v. Biden. You need to know that. It's a First Amendment case. And then also the big border showdown between Texas Governor Greg Abbott and the president. Texas Governor Abbott's going to be on later in the program. But first up, the big pivot. That's what we're calling it because that's what it is. Now, Kane, she had said, her words were, he wasn't in business with his son. Now, that seems remarkably different from what has been previously said by this administration whenever they've been, and he's been asked like repeatedly about this. And in addition to that, he's gotten angry whenever he's been asked repeatedly about this. And we have, I just want to go back. Because he gets pretty upset over this. In fact, we have some of the flashback audio here. Let's see.
Seven would be a good one to start with.
I mean, you know what? I'm really in love with eight also. But let's do seven first. And this is just a this is just 2019. This is just a couple years ago. Joe Biden got very angry and he said he had never discussed. Listen to how he said it. Listen.
Vice President, as you've said, your son Hunter today gave an interview, admitted that he made a mistake and showed poor judgment by serving on that board in Ukraine. Did you make a mistake by letting him? You were the point person on Ukraine at the time.
That's a fair question.
If you can answer.
Look, my son's statement speaks for itself. I did my job. I never discussed a single thing with my son about anything having to do with Ukraine. No one has indicated I have. We've always kept everything separate. Even when my son was the attorney general of the state of Delaware, we never discussed anything. So there'd be no potential conflict. My son made a judgment. I'm proud of the judgment he made. I'm proud of what he had to say.
He actually sounded like somebody gave him a shot of like roids and, you know, who knows what else there. He was mad. I've never discussed I've never discussed, you know, anything about their businesses. There's an absolute wall. I have more audio. There's tons of audio. In fact, I didn't pepper you guys with this yesterday. I have like 8 other cuts.
Dang.
We don't really need all that, right? I mean, you guys kind of get it. Do we want to play the eight other cuts that I got of him saying, you know?
It is kind of redundant, his lies.
Is it? No, is it? I don't know. So, but wait, there's more. With the purchase of one Slap Chop, you get another. This is my favorite because I don't know. I mean, I would love to have been challenged to a push-up contest by somebody running for president. This is actually, you know how he gets real mad? He calls people dog face pony soldiers. And then he also challenges them to like brute measures of strength. This is like a push-up challenge. Listen to this. This is wild.
But you, on the other hand, sent your son over there to get a job and work for a gas company that he had no experience with gas or nothing in order to get access for the president. So you're selling access to the president just like he was. So
you're a damn liar, man. That's not true. And no one has ever said that. No one has heard that. You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I get up and let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape, man? Let's do push-ups together here, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take an IQ test, okay? Number one. Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong, and I did not on any occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I
one
say you were doing anything wrong.
You said I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
Jack.
But I hear on MSNBC.
You don't hear that in MSNBC.
No, I didn't.
You did not hear that at all. You heard. Look, okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man.
Well, I don't want to either.
Well, yeah, you do, but.
You challenged him.
Look, here's the deal.
It looks like you don't have any more backbone than Trump does when you're.
Oh.
You're selling.
Any other questions?
Yeah. All right.
Oh. Dang. He got mad, man. He got super mad. Whenever he's like, "Look, fat." I mean. Is that, like, is he calling the guy fat? Like, I'm really kind of confused. Is he calling the guy fat? Like, what is
he totally is.
And then Jack. Everyone's Jack or fat. Is that, like, an old man insult to call somebody fat? I mean, he's just out there winning hearts and minds. Look, fat. Can you imagine if that was, like, a chick? That was, geez. So, but that's not the only. I mean, there's tons of this. He gets mad at everybody. I love how he, like, thought he was actually going to fight that guy. You know, Secret Service is going, please don't. Let's not. You fall upstairs. Okay. Like there's you trip on flat surfaces. You literally fell off your bike doing nothing. Like, let's just not have a fight with this old man. It's an old man off. Let's not. That's one of my favorites. But he got so mad because he was being accused. Don't you love the righteous indignation? Except it's not so righteous. Because he's like, maybe if the matter that I get over it and the more offended I act, maybe then you'll believe me. If I get really offended over it and I get really angry about it, then that can be interpreted. I can use that reaction as a substitute for honesty. And that's what he was doing. I can't believe, look, fat. What is that insult? Can anyone actually, like, I'm asking legitimately, what is that insult from? Because if you Google it, it's just like you're calling somebody fat. I don't think that's what he's doing. I don't know what that even means. Anyway. That's not the point. The point is that he has denied this over and over. But you know what he says? What was the common thing that he said? I haven't discussed a single thing with my son. I haven't discussed audio soundbite 6 with Pete Ducey. I haven't discussed. Listen to this.
Mr. Vice President, how many times have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
And so how do you know?
Let's talk about, here's what I know. I know Trump deserves to be investigated.
He is violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him the question, why is he on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader, if that's what happened? That appears what happened. You should be looking at Trump. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum, and he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me. Everybody looked at this, and everybody's looked at it and said there's nothing there. Ask the right questions.
Okay, but if you've never spoken to your son,
can he be impeached for this?
Depending on what the House finds, he could be impeached, but I'm not making that judgment now. The House should investigate it. The House should investigate this. This appears to be an overwhelming abuse of power. To get on the phone with a foreign leader.
But you did that, though, with the prosecutor over there.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not pretend that didn't happen, dude. You did that. You legit did that with the prosecutor over there. Where do you think you're going with us? So that's the big pivot, because he's gone. They've gone from saying, well, I've never discussed, and oh, no, he's never in business. He was never in business with his son. He wasn't in business with his son. They're moving the goalposts right in front of you. They want you to focus on DeSantis and Trump. They want you to, I mean, I see all these people writing like, you know, like, oh, let's write a think piece on, you know, like Vivek Ramaswamy, is he like, you know, or they write, you know, some hit piece or smear piece on this person or that person. This is like the big story. I understand there's a primary going on and you can walk and chew gum at the same time, but you can't when you have a media that only wants to focus on one of the two activities. This is a huge story. They blinked here. That's what this is. They blinked. They realized that this is really bad. This is incredibly bad. We've got to do something. We've got to get around this somehow. And that's where we're at. I mean, it's like almost like an admission of guilt, isn't it? In a way, that's how I kind of see it. We're gonna talk more about this. Because there's a lot more. Apparently, being a White House chef is a dangerous job. Who knew this? The second White House chef has been found dead. Democrat White House chef. Dangerous job. I mean, golly. I mean, like, what? I mean, just the past, you know, two Democrat, out of the three, the past two Democrat presidents, their chefs are dead. It's horrible. So Barack and Michelle Obama, they apparently, there's conflicting reports. They were on Martha's Vineyard. They weren't their private chef. He used to be the sous chef at the White House, and he came to be the chef for them. I guess he was there at their Hamptons, their $12 million Hamptons estate on the waterfront. And I got questions about some of this. It was a freak paddleboard accident, and he apparently was not a good swimmer from his own admission on social media before. Like, he had posted pictures of himself taking lessons on swimming. I don't know, maybe he got better, but he went out without a life vest on a paddleboard. And I just think that if you're not the best swimmer, or if you only recently learned how to swim, maybe you would take one. I don't know. But I mean, it's a sad story all around. Do you guys remember, go back when you had the Clinton chef? This was back in, was their former White House chef, Walter Scheib. He drowned also, an accidental death. He drowned. And he was in the New Mexico mountains. He died from drowning. Their chef died from drowning too. Wow. That's like a dangerous job to be a White House chef.
For Democrats,
you drown.
Yep.
I'm just saying, it's very sad. We got a lot more to touch on as we roll into headlines. We have a lot because coming up, the latest on the economy, UPS workers. That strike's getting closer to happening. FedEx pilots are dealing with their company, their problems with their companies. You also have the American Airlines flight attendants that are considering a strike as well. GOP's bracing for Republican versus Republican fight over spending in the House. The Justice Department has sued Texas to remove those floating barriers in the Rio.
Folks, do you believe in our founders' vision for America? That our republic will only survive if we are an educated and informed people who know our rights and duties? Since 1844, Hillsdale College has sought to educate all who wish to learn about these timeless principles of self-government. For more than 50 years, the college has worked to spread that mission by sending Imprimis, their Digest of Liberty, to millions of Americans, including me. Imprimis features some of the best speeches given at Hillsdale events and now an audio version of the popular Mueller Speech Digest is available in a new podcast of the same name. And like the printed publication, Imprimis, the podcast is always free. You can hear the best arguments from speakers such as Christopher Rufo, Mark Stein, and Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn, among many others, all read by Hillsdale students. Visit DanaForHillsdale.com to subscribe today and start listening to Imprimis today, all for free. To listen, visit DanaForHillsdale.com. That's DanaForHillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so this is good news. This literally just broke. So we're getting ready to talk about this, you know, potential UPS strike. I mean, they have till the very end of this month. This is days away. But now, apparently just in, UPS workers have reached a tentative contract deal with management days ahead of the strike deadline. They said that the Teamsters leaders hailed the agreement. It now heads to rank and file union employees for a vote. They said they have wage gains. The UPS called the pact a win-win-win. They said that they announced the deal hours after resuming negotiations following a breakdown in the talks on July 5th. And so they were looking at wages. They were also looking at AC and some of the trucks, which I actually kind of get if you're in some southern states and it's like July. I mean, you know, I'm all about take care of your drivers. I do get that. But so this is it's interesting. You know, I get it. We were like, oh, man, we got to order school supplies. We got to do all this because if this happens, it's going to affect shipping. It really will. Wow. LeBron James's son, Bronny, collapsed on the court Monday and came out today that he had cardiac arrest. He was taken to the hospital. He's now in stable condition, according to the family. He's no longer in ICU. He said that it was just a little after 9 a.m., and he was practicing. They said medical staff, they were able to treat him at USC. He's in stable condition. It's good to be out of ICU that quick after a cardiac arrest, but I'm like, why? I don't think this is normal for young men, particularly this age, to be having it. And I know that he got the vaccine. I know that LeBron James got the vaccine because he had a statement out about it. I don't know if his son did. I don't know if that plays into it. But I don't think that it's crazy to raise the question considering everything that we know now. I'm glad he's doing well because, I mean, he's like a superstar athlete. And he seems to have a real good heart. So, goodness. This is crazy. New York Post. First, he stole her phone. Then he stole her heart. Literally, that's what happened. This chick says she fell in love with her mugger. They had an alleged romantic saga in a Twitter video. She was walking down the street and he mugged her. And then when he saw her number, he was like, she's cute, and called her. I cannot even, apparently got a hold of her somehow. This is crazy. Woman, you cannot be that thirsty. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile .com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
It's not a legal question. It's a political question. But what did you make hearing Kevin McCarthy?
Well, this is the power of the majority. This is why elections matter. If you control Congress, you can open an impeachment inquiry. Speaking of there not being a smoking gun. In any case, I've still not seen a smoking gun on this case. I think there are legitimate questions about where Hunter Biden was getting his money from. Clearly, he was only getting his money because his last name was Biden. But what's been missing is that definitive link
to the president,
to his father. And, you know, I think it's an interesting political question. You both are the political experts. But how does that play to open an impeachment inquiry and potentially impeach this?
Do you think that he is obtuse on purpose, or is it a natural talent? I was thinking about that. The CNN's, I can't remember what his name is. I don't like his haircut. But this is what they were talking about. Oh, he's only getting, that's the all they could give it. Well, he's only getting his money. He's only getting money because of his dad. Today in who? Duh. Of course. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. I got to share with you my friend Dave Burge, Iowa Hawk. I've been telling him for I don't know how long, how many years. He needs to do a book of his tweets because he is the funniest person on Twitter. And it's the most underrated account. And I've met him. We're both cynics. And he's a good friend. Been a friend a long time. I got to read this to you. Because he was talking about this, right? And he had... So I was looking at a number of Hunter's paintings. Have you seen these? Have you seen all of them? Okay, so let me, if you haven't, let me put the illustration in your head. For you, those of you who are hard at work to pay for everybody else's fair share. You guys remember in high school, I know y'all did this, where everybody at one point, I don't care what school you were in, you did the whole lab, science lab, where it was bacteria in a petri dish. Y'all remember that? We all remember this, right? And then you had to like, did all that stuff. That's what his stuff looks like. And remember, he uses the straw not to snort powder, but to spit paint through. So instead of suck, it's blow. Got to think about that. Phrasing, Dana. It's turned into an episode of Archer. Phrasing. So Dave Burge he shared some of these paintings. And I was looking at these. And y'all, I mean, it legit looks... He thinks he's Jackson Pollock, Hunter Biden. And it looks like bacteria. It's so bad. It looks like bacteria. Anyway, so Dave Burge tweets, major art movements of the past 100 years. Cubism, abstract expressionism, Dada, surrealism, color field, pop art, postmodernism, meth addicts who pick up a paintbrush for the first time at age 50 and suddenly sell paintings to their father's friends for $1 million. And then he shows some examples of these paintings and he asks, from a Tony exclusive Manhattan gallery or a collapsible tent at a week in hippie art fair in Athens, Ohio, you make the call. And then he says, honestly, it wouldn't have been such a ludicrously obvious grift had he only apprenticed for 5 to 10 years at a Mexican black velvet Elvis painting factory. Oh my gosh. And then he went on. He goes, I'm inspired to slop some paint on some Hobby Lobby poster boards and sell them from the back of my truck alongside Loop 360. $1 million, no lowball offers. I know what I got. And then he says, don't worry, they will be sophisticated and have super artsy artistic titles like Haiku Number 11 and Untitled, so buy in confidence. So that's, and then he says, artist statement, and it's a picture of a wrestling clown, and it says, I'm Dr. Roxo, the rock and roll clown, I do cocaine. But someone corrected. So he, and this I feel like is important for you to know, because see, if you're watching, like Juan is showing you, images of how Hunter does the paintings. It's not a paintbrush. Is it? It's called boofing paint. Is he boofing it through this? Wait, guys. I'm sorry. This is going off into a ditch. We're looking this up. Boofing? Oh, my gosh. Kind of, yes. So it's sort of like boofing. Buffing paint? No. So he's like boofing it through a straw, you know. And that's...
I don't know about Kane. The timing of all this, but was this not at the height of COVID where he's literally spitting onto...
You know what? You may have some of Hunter's, the China virus that's in the spit paint. I swear to you, I did this when I was in school. Guys, I just realized something. Whoa. You know what I realized? Because times are tough. We're in a recession. I need y'all to do me a favor. Go in your parents' garages, basements, attics, what have you. And I want you to find your old masterpieces because I feel like they could be worth some money. I mean, what might seem like a simple macaroni necklace to you could be worth $1 million to Joe Biden's friends. But, oh, wait, you guys just told me that your last name's not Biden. So it doesn't matter. Never mind. Your name's Biden. If your name's not Biden, it doesn't matter. So he boofs paint through a straw and then he goes and like impregnates all these women without consequences. And then he turns it into $1 million artwork. My gosh, What a life, right? What a life.
Not money laundering at all.
No, it's not money laundering. First off, how dare thou say that about little infant baby Hunter Biden, who's 50-something years old. Doesn't matter. How dare you? That is the president's baby infant son. Little baby infant Hunter. 53-year-old baby. Yeah. He wears a, kind of doing an homage to Ricky Bobby, but, you know, he wears a tuxedo shirt because he's casual, but it also says, you know, he's formal, but he's here to party. See? So I just, it is a money laundering thing. And then, so anyway, back to this stooge that's on CNN. He's like, oh, there's no smoking gun. I mean, if you ignore all the emails where they're like, yes, this is Joe. Can I talk to your business associates? Hi, Joe here, Vice President Joe. Would you like to come into my office, the vice president's office, and talk about business deal? Oh, wait, winky, winky, business bay Ealing's day? Come on, guys. The no smoking gun. Can they see, right? I just don't know where the smoking gun is. As long as I keep my eyes to the sky, I can't see anything. God love it. Yeah, this, No. So it is a money laundering thing. You think it's all that money that they were getting from Romania and all of that stuff? Kane, we're in the wrong business.
I know.
I'm pretty sure we could have convinced that senile old man that maybe he had some indiscretions back in the day and we're his children. And we could have gotten, you know, some of that Biden money. I mean, you can fake anything nowadays, right?
Yeah, just don't call us Navy Joan or anything.
Oh, geez. Now, the pivot is fascinating. Now, why are we so, let me just talk to the drive-bys for a moment, because you can feel the seething. Let me just address it for a moment. You know, our brethren across the aisle, you got to look at it like this. We have a national security issue of energy in this country, correct? Because energy and being able to control your resources is kind of important. And as we are moving towards green everything, you also need to realize that, and there are receipts on this, the Biden family with all of their little shell companies, they were working with our geopolitical opposition to assist our geopolitical opposition in the acquisition of major rare earth element resources. Mines across the country, et cetera, or across the world, et cetera, meaning that they have a de facto monopoly over all of the exact elements that are required to make the green transition in the United States possible. So instead of relying on Saudi oil and all this stuff, since for some reason we have like a fetish with hating being able to develop it ourselves, even though we have greater supply, we are transferring dependence on the Saudis to dependence upon China. How, if it ever came to a face-off with a geopolitical foe, how can you do this when you're so dependent upon them? That's the question. That is really the crux of all of this. Okay, sidebar. So I had to take my car in the shop, right? I had a recall part on it. Kane, do you know what they gave me as a loaner?
What? Oh, no. What did they give you?
A damn EV.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. I'm not driving it. My husband was like, because he went pick it up. He's like, oh my gosh, you guys, you cannot get my wife an EV. Now look, I have, what is it? It's the old Cherokee story of two wolves. Which one will you feed? So I have, you know, I love the gadgetry of EVs. I love gadgets. I love flashy things with buttons, right? Like if it's a gadget, I'm like, ooh, you show me a gadget on QVC. I'm the person who's like calling. Like, I want that. I'm all about it. But I hate the fact that all of the stuff that makes that run is Chinese made. It's China, CCP dominated. So I feel like, and then I'm like, where the redacted do I charge this thing? Just plug it in the wall. Oh, really? Because I don't really think that's how it works. I mean, don't you have to have like the converter? I don't know. I just, and it doesn't make a sound. Chris was all excited because he's like, it goes faster than the car you have. I reject that, sir. And when you turn it on, this is what it sounds like when you turn it on. Listen real quietly. That. There's no noise. That. Is the damn thing on? I don't know. It looks like an egg, and I get in it, and because Chris was like, sit in it. He aggravated me half to death. He's like, sit in it. Just sit in it. Sit in it, Dana. And I sat in it, and then, like, this is going to sell me. It has a cubby for your purse. Kane, are you okay over there?
Yeah. What kind was it? Can you say?
I don't want to say.
You don't want to say?
No, because I don't like to. I don't. People hate me. They'll run me off the road. But it's a damn EV, and it has the thingy where on the ceiling, the roof, the whole thing opens, and I don't like that because I don't want, you know, aliens and satellites to spy on me. I get real weird. I'm so weird with stuff. And it's white, which is an anti-goth color. I only drive black. It's white. And I'm not even joking you. Every car I've had is black. I've never owned a car of anything other than black since I was 16 years old, except for a brief moment when I had a Geo Metro that only went 60 miles per hour. And if you live in Missouri, I almost died 11 times on Highway 270. Anyway, it doesn't make a sound when you get in it. And it all lights up. Like, that's supposed to make me forget about the CCP-ness that's attached to it, right? I felt like I was sitting in the warm embrace of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm sitting there in this car. I'm like, I can't. I'm not driving this thing. It doesn't make any noise. I don't know if it's on. I mean, it doesn't sound like a car's supposed to sound. When I get into a car, I want it to scare people when I turn it on. I want it to go, that's what I want to hear. I want it to go when I drive it. And that's what I got. I got a gas-guzzling, terrifying car that will put hair on your chest. I want something scary. This is like you get in, bing, 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 and then the lights come on. It actually, it's bougier than anything. It's bougier than what I would drive. When you turn it, when you unlock it, I swear to you, it makes a oh sound. Doesn't it? It makes that sound. So I don't. And then I was thinking about, I'm like, damn, Joe Biden. And my husband's like, well, you know, they were saying that, you know, all the loaners anymore are EVs. And, you know, the lady at the dealership, they were saying that, you know, everybody's moving to EVs. And I'm like, this family's not. We're not moving to EVs. I will borderlands a damn car up. I don't care. We're not doing it. So I'm just, you know, now, if you told me, Dana, we're moving it away from like CCP reliance. And then he went on this big spiel and my eyes glazed over and I stopped listening because science. He was like, well, we're getting away from the lithium ion. And he just like went on this. And I don't know what any of that means. But if we get away from the reliance on the CCP stuff, that's my only objection. I don't care about the, I don't want people to think that I care about environmentalism. You know, I'm a conservationist, but I don't want to look like I hug trees or anything. That's another thing. You know, I just don't want, you know, I don't want my image tarnished. I don't want to look like I'm caring, you know, so I'm just, I don't know. I have problems. Your thoughts? Would you ever drive it? What would you do if they gave you an EV loaner?
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to charge it up. I don't have one of those chargers at home. So right? What would I have to always go back there to charge it up?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, just, you know, But they're like, yeah, everything's moving to EVs.
And then, like, when you have to bring back a rental car with, like, full of gas, do you have to bring back the EV full of charge?
You know, I
didn't
even ask that question. That's a brilliant question, because that's not happening.
Right. I would just go with a gas. Just give me something fast.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Well, Chris is like, this goes really fast. You're going to like it. It'll blow your hair back. Like, I don't care. It doesn't make a noise, so it doesn't matter to me.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Given what we know now, do you wish that you hadn't signed that letter or been involved in it?
No, not at all. I signed that letter for one reason, which was to make the American people aware that the Russians deliberately were engaged in a disinformation campaign in the United States and trying to impact on our election and trying to impact on our our ability to have free and fair elections. That's why I signed that letter. And very frankly, I have seen no evidence to the contrary that Russia has not engaged in that kind of disinformation campaign.
So Leon Panetta, he says he doesn't regret signing that Hunter Biden laptop letter because he wanted to warn people about disinformation, except it wasn't disinformation. It was true. The FBI knew that it was true at the time that this was all like busting open on Twitter. And the FBI knew that it was true. And it was his legitimate laptop at the time that they composed and signed this letter. So he wasn't warning people about disinformation. They were warning people to not believe actual information and trying to shame them away from sharing this story so you don't look like a conspiracy theorist, even though it was true. Unbelievable. And they wonder why we don't trust government. Stay with us. Second hour on the way.
Let's not forget what we have seen these past several months as we witness extreme officials in Florida and across the country lie about American history. The most recent example, shamefully promoting a lie that enslaved people actually benefited from slavery. It's inaccurate, insulting, it's hurtful, and prevents an honest account of our nation's history. In Jacksonville on Friday, you heard from the Vice President Harris, and she said, this is an attempt by extremists to push an agenda that continues to attack Americans' freedom to learn our true and full history, and it will not stand for it. We will not stand for it. The Biden-Harris administration will continue to speak.
What's interesting about this, and we were talking about this yesterday, and how everything that she's saying here, it's categorically false. It is that's not even in any remote way. That is not at all what the curriculum does. And there have been numerous analyses over on all of the different points of the curriculum. And they're trying to make something out of where nothing was. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour here. Dana Lash with you. In fact, one of the civil rights figures, a very prominent activist, Dr. William Allen, who helped to craft Florida's African American history standards, which, by the way, that history is required by law to be taught in Florida, he angrily blasted Harris's assessment of the curriculum. He said that it was categorically false. He was the one-time chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. And he said that Allen told ABC News, he said, the only criticism that I've encountered so far is a single one that was articulated by the vice president and which was an error, is what he was saying of her. He says, as I stated in my response to the vice president, it was categorically false. It was never said that slavery was beneficial to Africans. He literally was one of the heads of the, he's like the head of the group that created the entire curriculum. He's a civil rights activist, a longtime well-respected civil rights activist. He helped draft and create the entire curriculum. He's been out there doing the heavy lifting when she was out butt kissing and climbing the social ladder. So he was upset, understandably. ABC News aired a tiny little bitty bit of an interview with him because it was the African American History Standards work group, and they were very careful not to have the whole one because he just blasted them. He just destroyed their whole narrative. And the previous advance, so this was, now there's a difference. The AP course on African American studies that was rejected by Florida didn't cover, it wasn't the African American studies or history aspect of the curriculum to which there was an objections. The part that people were objecting to was the inclusion of literally, quote unquote, queer theory, and the promotion of, and very, I actually couldn't read parts of it on air, again, it's one of those things. Graphic descriptions of same-sex intercourse. That literally was included in it. And then the rewriting of history to portray Karl Marx as this, you know, amazing, sinless hero, and actually promote illiberal, ahistorical, non-academic teachings about communism. Because if you're teaching something that is not true, how are you calling that academic? Those were the two objections that people had to the previous AP pilot course that had been submitted. That was it. And there were black parents that were objecting to this. I mean, how are you going to claim that teaching about how two lesbians have sex is somehow related to black history? Someone, for the love, explain to me how you're wrapping that up in black history. I was one of the people that went and looked at what they had submitted. I was, a lot of it was like, okay, history, history. You know, you go, oh my gosh. Here's the section on queer theory. Why is that even in here? Are progressives trying to say that African history solely manifests queer theory? Because that's the intimation if you're demanding that this be incorporated into African American history. It has nothing to do with it. They were trying to use that as the veneer to sneak this in so that then if people objected to the inclusion of it, they could turn around and say, oh, you're being racist. No, you're being a nut job because you're trying to have them, you're trying to use African-American history. You're trying to ride the coattails of that study course to include this. And then you're going to play the race card like a racist if it's rejected. And that's the other thing. The media whitewashed all of the black participation and the black objections out of this. They whitewashed them out. If you want to have a discussion as to what is racist, I would say the whitewashing of black participation and pretty iconic people leading the course development, I would say that's pretty racist. But that's our press. That's the left. That's what they're doing here. And so that's the only, that's the AP advance. That's what they had objected to. Now, the one that they had, you know, actual civil rights activists that were developing, there was nothing. They were trying to figure out something in there that they, and I read the statement to, I read the sentence to you yesterday, verbatim off the thing. There was no at all whatsoever. I don't even know how you could. They have to, it's just, it's fabricated. There's literally nothing in there that says that. They were going after the one section where it said that slaves were forced to develop skills that benefited the industry that they were being forced to serve. That is not saying that something's what in the world? How are they getting that? Oh, well, you're saying that this is beneficial to slaves. Did you miss the coercion part of that? The no choice part of that, the being forced, i.e. because of slavery part of that. I mean, I think when people try to play to the lowest common denominator of arguments and immediately retreat to trying to make everything about race, particularly when it's not, I find that to be itself bigoted. It's shameful. Absolutely shameful. And that's been the smear. Now, a few other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting here. So cancel culture. I saw this story. This is in Toronto. This is a really sad story. A Toronto school principal. You want to talk about falsely accusing people of race? You're accusing people of moral failings, which itself is a moral failing. They accuse this guy, Richard Bilkso, of being a white supremacist because during an anti-racism training course, he apparently criticized the anti-racism trainer because he apparently thought that the anti-racism trainer was a bully. And so they immediately decided that he was a white supremacist, and they bullied him. And he filed a lawsuit claiming his reputation was systematically demolished because he had the audacity to question the motivation of the trainer, and they bullied him, called him a racist, tried to ruin his life, so he committed suicide. And his wife, via the lawyer, announced, quote, "Unfortunately, the stress and effects of these incidents continue to plague him. Last week, he succumbed to the distress." And he disagreed with the statement that Canada could be considered more racist than the U.S. because it, quote, "never reckoned with its anti-black history." And that's what he disagreed with. And he had said that it would have been, quote, "an incredible disservice to our learners to suggest that the U.S. is a more just country than Canada." And according to witnesses, and this is all in the legal documents, the trainer reacted with, quote, "vitriol." She accused him of being a racist in the course, apparently, and how dare he try to undermine a black woman. And she made racist comments towards him immediately, talking about, quote unquote, his whiteness. He tried to de-escalate the situation because he sounds like more of the adult than her. And it just that was it. And she wouldn't let it go. She kept going after him. She sounds like a bitch. And I would have told her that to her face. If you disagree with me, then you're sexist. I can play that game too. Ojo Thompson. She's like one of these DEI. She immediately just launched into him. I am not going to apologize for calling her that because it's true. She ought to be called it again. And so he actually said they were bullying him out of a job. He filed a mental stress injury claim to Canada's Workplace Safety and Insurance Board. They gave him 2 months of lost earnings. The board investigated his claims, and they actually found that her conduct was, quote, "abusive, egregious, vexatious, and rises to the level of harassment and bullying." But they wouldn't reinstate his contract. And she just led, like, apparently, according to the report, she led the charge against him, and he killed himself. By my view, she killed him. You see how this goes? This is where this stuff goes. And then people are afraid to speak out. Like with this Jason Aldean song. I got to tell you something. I saw this thing at National Review. I don't dislike Catherine Lopez at all. And I can disagree with people without hating them. I mean, just because you disagree with someone doesn't mean you hate them. Kane and I disagree. I don't hate him. I disagree with my friends sometimes and my own husband, but it doesn't mean you hate them. But they wrote this piece called "Sorry, Jason Aldean, but we need songs about virtue, not violence." I made the point that defending oneself, one's loved ones, and one's community against unprovoked violence is virtuous. And I just find it odd that the first reaction would be to attack the people who, at the expense of their own peace, knowing what society is going to do and say, would stand up and say that, yes, you can defend yourself. You can't do this in a small town. Try that, and this is what happens. People, and you know what? What's so funny, because we're talking about virtue and not violence. Do you know why people would stand up and defend their friends and family and community in a small town? Because they want to defend that virtue. Virtuously. Oh, how ironic, right? We have more to come. We have headlines on the way. And then we have Texas Governor Greg Abbott on the border showdown with the administration. And Lorraine told me what the boofing meant. Oh, my gosh.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently earlier, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was involved in a little car accident on the drive to Chattanooga. No, he was not hurt. No one else was hurt. They said that they appreciated the prayers and the well wishes of the nation after the governor was involved in the crash. It was in the morning. They were traveling to an event in Chattanooga. Everything's fine. No injuries. But it was just a little, there was a lot of traffic, and then it was a pile up in front is apparently what had happened. So I don't know if you saw this. The Just Stop Oil protesters, who are so annoying, they got a taste of their own medicine. So they were having the climate protesters were, they were having a little meeting. They're the people who've been storming the museums. And the case, apparently what ended up happening is that, what did they have a meeting, and then what? Someone sent in drones?
Well, balloons.
Or the balloons. But were they carried by drones?
Maybe.
They had rape alarms in them into the little meeting that they had. Listen to this. It was pretty. And they disrupted their meeting. So they had to get ladders out. And oh, man, that was pretty. You know, you got a taste of your own medicine. Just saying, that was actually pretty brilliant. CBS reports that a woman was found dead after a suspected grizzly bear attack near Yellowstone Park. She was discovered following an apparent bear encounter on the Buttermilk Trail located west of Yellowstone, according to the Montana Department of Fish and Wildlife. They said that investigators found grizzly bear tracks at the scene. The investigation is ongoing. They did close the nearby Custer-Gallatin National Forest. The Gallatin National Forest issued an emergency closure to the trails, they said, because of bear and human safety concerns, which is understandable. It said Gen Z and millennials, they wouldn't know how to cope if they were handed a sum, you know, like inheritance. Y'all need to get some economic literacy. Come on. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on the border showdown next.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
And the only person, the one person that is sowing chaos is Governor Abbott. That's what he continues to do, political stunts in an inhumane way. He's actively undermining our border enforcement plan, which, again, has the lowest level of unlawful border crossings in over 2 years. He's making this more difficult. And so he's not operating in good faith here.
I don't think that anyone who lives in a border state takes her statement. That's Corinne Jean-Pierre yesterday. Seriously. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this second hour. Joining us to respond to all of this, the great big border showdown. It's honestly, it's kind of a showdown a lot of us were hoping for, is Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who said, no, we're going to see you in court. He's not going to remove these buoys that were placed in the Rio. And they're actually movable, from what I understand. So you can have like some strategic deployment with these. Governor, we appreciate that you're doing this. We appreciate that you just said, no, we're not moving nothing. Take us to court. Talk to us about this. I just wanted to get your response to Corinne Jean-Pierre there. She accused you of sowing chaos.
So the only person who's been sowing chaos is Joe Biden and his open border policies. Remember this, Dana, and that is 4 years ago, we had the lowest illegal border crossings in four decades. Under Joe Biden, we've had an all-time record of illegal immigration coming across the border. Maybe what she's referring to is we are sowing chaos with Joe Biden's open border policies, because Texas is the only state in the history of America that has actually erected barriers that deny illegal entry into our country. And count on this, we will continue to deny illegal entry into the United States.
And so these buoys have been deployed. Eagle Pass, this is, you know, one of the hot spots where crossings have occurred. I was trying to understand, Governor, the White House's take on this, why they thought they had a legal challenge to this. And apparently they are saying that it violates the River and Harbors Act, which prohibits the placement of obstructions in the water without federal approval. I mean, I know what I know and I know what I don't, but that seems kind of like a weak objection to me. Your thought?
It's a bizarre objection. For one, on the face of the statute, we're not violating it. But Dana, on the bigger picture, think about this. The legal action the Biden administration is being brought against a state that's actually trying to stop illegal immigration. The Biden administration has not pursued one legal action to stop people from coming across the border illegally. And so this is a topsy-turvy Alice in Wonderland type approach by the Biden administration. We need a president of the United States that is going to enforce the laws of the United States that prevent illegal immigration. And that means denying entry between the ports of entry in the United States. Texas has 29 ports of entry, and Joe Biden wants them to come across that border illegally between those ports of entry.
Yeah. And this apparently Mexico's diplomat was saying, oh, it may violate. They were very careful with their language. They said it may violate the 1944 and 1970 treaties on boundaries and water if it impedes the flow of water. Governor, it looks, you know, from everything I've seen with video and photos, and I know exactly that area, it doesn't look like it's impeding the flow of water at all. So I think that seems to be a weak objection as well.
It only impedes one thing, Dana, and that is people who are trying to cross the border illegally.
You have to really think outside of the box here, because the administration hasn't really left you with a lot of options at this point in order to stem this. And you said that you would take this case all the way to the Supreme Court, which sounds like you anticipated going that far.
Absolutely. And so we have been wanting to have a case that would go to the United States Supreme Court that would revisit the Arizona case. Remember, Justice Scalia wrote a very strong dissenting opinion in that case saying that states like Texas do have the constitutional right to secure our borders. And we are taking Justice Scalia up on his writing. And we believe and hope that we're going to have enough members of the United States Supreme Court that will agree with us, saying that whether it be the deployment of the buoys, whether it be the concertina wire barriers that we're building, whether it be the National Guard that are repelling illegal immigrants from coming into the state, or Texas building its own border wall. All of these strategies are perfectly constitutional, and we hope the United States Supreme Court will agree with us and affirm the strategies that Texas has adopted to be the try to deny legal entry into our country.
We hope so, too. We're talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because Texans are paying a lot of tax dollars to clean up Joe Biden's mess. I know we have a surplus in Texas because we've had smart management of money. But, you know, we don't want to blow through that trying to deal with, you know, the mess that the White House has created. I know to that effect, you sent, what was it, the fourth bus of illegal entrants to California?
Fifth.
The fifth bus. I'm a bus short. The fifth bus. They're very upset over that, but they did say, did they not? They were a sanctuary state.
Oh, well, listen, a sanctuary state, sanctuary city, all these buses have been going to sanctuary cities. And now that they have to actually live up to what they self-declare in their sanctimony, they say they cannot accept it anymore. Look at what Mayor Adams in New York said. He said New York is full. They can't take anybody else. New York only has a couple of weeks worth of illegal immigrants that have come across the border instead of Texas. So it's completely outrageous. It's completely fake on the part of these Democrat mayors across the entire country.
Yeah, it bothers me that with all of the talk about the compassion for people that are trying to cross the Rio. I'm sure you saw that story that came out in the New York Times. I think it was last month, where they looked at Health and Human Services and Office of Refugee Settlement, and they were looking at Xavier Becerra's actions in pushing these government contractors to hurry up and process these kids that were illegally brought across the border. And they were just shipping these kids out to who knows where. They lost track of like 100,000 of them. That sounds like child trafficking that HHS and Becerra are complicit in. There's no concern from the White House over that.
Well, the White House and frankly, Americans need to be outraged what Joe Biden is doing, shipping kids, adults, whoever, into all different parts of the country in the darkness of night. And no governor, no mayor, no resident, no citizen knows exactly what the Biden administration is doing other than very heavily populating our country with illegal immigrants. It must stop.
Yeah. Last question for you, talking to Texas Governor Greg Abbott. How far are you willing to go over the border shutdown? What if, you know, as it gears up, because I know that the legal purgatory, for the lack of a better way to describe the process of it getting to the Supreme Court, you know, the White House will act like something is de facto law in the meantime. You know, what happens if they say, you know, we might come and arrest you for not following the law, or we might come and try to remove this, you know, this quote unquote obstruction in the Rio ourselves? How would you stand against that?
We're in for the fight all the way. We're going to be doing everything we can, using every tool possible to make sure that we continue to deploy the buoys, continue to maintain the Constantina wire, continue to build the border wall, continue to repel illegal immigrants trying to enter the United States. We're in this. This is, you know, sadly, I got to tell you, this is a battle. And it's not a battle between Texas and the illegal immigrants so much. This is a battle between Texas and the United States of America. Our own country is abandoning its responsibility to maintain the sovereignty of our country. Texas has to step up and provide that barrier where we are going to be securing the sovereignty of our country.
Amen to that. Well, we're glad that you're doing it. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, we appreciate it. And I know everybody's standing right there with you. Everybody's got your six on this, on the and backing this move. Thank you so much, Governor. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana.
Mm-hmm. And that New York Post story, or New York Times story, I sent that out to everybody in an email not that long ago. And that's the Xavier Becerra story. And to touch on that really quickly, I don't think anybody has actually asked that. There was only one question, and it was kind of brushed off by Karine Jean-Pierre in a White House avail. I think maybe like a week after it came out, and I want to say that it was Jackie Heinrich that asked it. But that's, with all of the discussion about the compassion for people that come across the border, there has not been a single utterance about compassion for, any of these kids that have been brought across illegal. And I'm talking like these are little kids. They're shipped out because Xavier Becerra says, no, you got to hurry up and process this. He was talking about Henry Ford's production line and was saying, well, Henry Ford would be so disappointed. He was talking to these third party government contractors. Oh, he'd be so disappointed because they were trying to take the time to actually vet where they were sending these kids to. And then lo and behold, what comes out last week? Child trafficking, not just labor either. It's horrifying. And that's what is being enabled by all of this at the border with this lawlessness. So I'm glad that he's sticking out. Now, that Arizona case, real quickly, if you all remember that was when Jane Brewer tried enforcing border law. And Obama's DOJ, they like sued her six ways to Sunday. They threatened her with everything under the sun. And that created a little bit of a precedent there to make it more difficult for these border state governors to do certain things. But he says that they're willing to go all the way on this. So that'll be interesting to see. But if you saw in the simulcast, if you're watching the simulcast of the radio program, Juan had images up, just to touch on that, the 1944 and 1970 treaties of boundaries and water, that only is applicable if it actually impedes the flow of water. And those buoys, it does not impede the flow of water. Come on. The fact that that was even thrown out, those buoys do not impede the flow of water. The fact that that was thrown out, and they were very careful. Alicia Bacena said that, that's the top diplomat from Mexico. They said that, well, it may violate. They're very careful with their language. It may violate. And similarly, the lawsuit that the DOJ has filed, it's violating the River and Harbors Act. You can't place obstructions in the water without federal approval. Well, that's very similar to the wording of the treaties. There's no obstruction of water flow. There's no obstruction of waterway. It's not as though boats still cannot traverse the waterways. That doesn't impede the travel or transport or freedom of movement for any kind of boats or anything like that. You're not gonna be able to cross. And it's only in one particular section there in Eagle Pass where it's a hot spot. And because it's not a permanent structure, you can strategically deploy it, wherever you need to. So I just feel like that those are weak arguments. I really don't think, I would be honestly, I just don't see how this goes up to the Supreme Court at this point. I really don't, because that's one of the things I went and I looked at the treaties and I was looking at the specific wording and I was looking at the lawsuit that the DOJ is, but you've seen that doesn't impede flow at all. Good heavens.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So first up here. Man, these things are everywhere. So a bus driver, this is in Tampa, took a picture of an alligator waiting at a bus stop in Newport Richey. Imagine you have to take the bus. It's legit right at the bus stop where you have to get on the bus. It's waiting there because it knows you get on it there. It's going to be getting you. That's what it's doing. It's waiting there because it's seen people get on the bus, and it's waiting. It's Gator a smart
buffet.
One.
Gator buffet.
Yeah. So Pasco County bus driver took a picture of it. A little gator there waiting in the grass. He's a growing gator. He needs some proteins. So the bus driver arrived at the bus stop and saw it. So they took a picture. I mean, that's terrifying. Terrifying. They're absolutely everywhere. That's not the only one. So this story, Pensacola. A man was hit in the head with a machete at the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar in downtown Pensacola, Pensacola, Florida. Officers arrested a 19-year-old man Sunday night, charged him with attempted homicide after he allegedly struck another man in the head with a machete. Andrew James Ryder entered the Old Hickory Whiskey Bar around 9 p.m., pulled out the machete, and struck the victim. Wait, I'm... How do you pull out the machete? It's a machete. How is that... Are you concealed carrying the machete? And if so, how? I'm wondering how that's happening. So when officers responded to the scene, he was still carrying the machete. They said he still had it. They told him to drop the weapon. He refused. So they tased him and detained him without further incident. He had no ID, wouldn't identify himself. They took him to the hospital and then because he had some injuries from the scuffle, and then they took him to jail. He's held without bond, according to Pensacola PD. No motive, nothing. Just, you know, he's mad. He gonna hit somebody with his machete. This is wild. I don't understand people. This, another one. I'll be damned. So a Florida man was bitten by a shark, but he was more concerned about his vape.
Priorities.
So there's a video where a Florida man's at the beach, and he says... Yeah, I'm going to make my way to the ambulance. And he's riding this little golf course. And he's got a baby shark, and he's holding it like it's a baby because it latched onto his bicep and it will not let go. But he was just chill, and he wanted his vape. And they were trying to get this thing off of him. They had EMT. They had Fish and Wildlife. They had everybody there. Did you see when they lift up the thing's mouth? It's not faint. I know it's shark teeth, but man, it looked like a vampire biting his bicep off. It was a little nurse shark. And they said, the guy goes, well, here's the question. They asked him this. They go, well, what did you do to get attacked? And he goes, oh, you know, I just took the shark and spun it around. Yeah, that'll do it, Slick. That'll do it. So it bit him. And they were able to finally, the medics were able to save the shark's life and also the man's arm. So it was a win-win. But don't do that. Don't be like spinning stuff. Don't be going into nature and spinning sharks in their house, because they don't like that and they're going to bite you. Like, why do people do that? But it was, you know, it didn't say whether or not he had to have like stitches or anything like that. I would imagine that he did, because did you see a shark's teeth? Oh my gosh. Pull this up. I've got a couple of other ones. Some of them I can't read. Some of them are like animal stories that make me sad and I don't want to read them. Let's see. This guy. Yeah. Hold up. I'm pulling this up because it was funny. I had this one. There was a Fort Myers Chipotle that, you know how you can get on Yelp and you can review things on Yelp? Okay, so in Florida, there's a Fort Myers Chipotle, and there's one review that went up there, and it's now famous apparently for more than just burritos. Numerous people went on Yelp and began reviewing it, saying there's a husband-stealing employee named Lucy who works there, and she's stealing all y'all's husbands is what's happening. Literally, the Yelp accusation started a month ago with reviews like, quote, don't send your husbands there to pick up Chipotle. Next thing you know, Lucy's going to seduce them like she has with multiple married men. All kinds of comments. Quote, these are actual comments. Lucy's a pig. She slept with my husband, too. Their guacamole is also bad. I mean, they're real particular there. Stick with us. We got third hour on the way.
You have the power to decide who goes to the United States Congress. And it is the United States Congress that will ultimately either do it or not do it.
What? That's Kamala Harris in new audio. Who?
Genius.
Super genius. Shit, you have the power to decide who goes to Congress, and the Congress decides to do it. That's how she defines the legislative branch. Can you imagine that as Schoolhouse Rock? Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour. Good to be with you. As always, I just saw a video where Joe Biden called Emmett Till Evan. Okay, there we go. That's the show today. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day. I'm telling you. So that's she's describing apparently the legislative branch, and she describes it as you have the power to decide who goes to the Congress, and then they decide either to do it or not to what. I don't know. That's just, you know. But then we also have this from Biden, who is talking about learning what we want to know, and it's very insightful. You can learn what you want to know. This sounds like burdened by, what does she say? Burdened by what has been, or something like that. Isn't that what that how that works? Do we have this? This just came in, so. We don't have it. It's understandable.
I do have the one on Emmett, or Evan Till.
Oh, boy. Yeah, go ahead and play that, because that just happened, too.
Today, on what we've been, would have been Emmett's 82nd birthday, we had another chapter of the story of remembrance and healing.
This guy, oh, my gosh.
I'm going to need a minute. What? What? But, you know. Not black if you don't vote for him. Is that what he said? Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. So, that's it. They're coming for your hot water heater. I had to just replace my hot water heater. I'm not going to replace it again. They're cracking down on yet another appliance. So, wait. I just want to make this, just understand this. They want to come after your gas stoves. And then what? Now your water heaters, and they want you to turn up your AC as well, and then eat bugs. I know nothing. So last week, well, last week, it was like Friday, the Biden administration issued this, they put out this regulatory proposal, right? And it's, they want to take, it's another energy efficient action, A-C-K-S-H-U-N, action, to crack down on home appliances. I think the only one who opposes this might be Manchin. I don't know. And the DOE said the proposal is going to accelerate deployment of electric heat pump water heaters. And they say that it's going to save us lots of money and then reduce carbon emissions. I don't care about carbon emissions. Can I just say it? I don't give a blank about carbon emissions. I don't care. Whenever anyone lectures me about carbon emissions, I want to throw styrofoam out the window of a moving car. I'm so done. Stop it.
Don't do it.
I don't care. Litter bug. Not enough fingers. So, Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm said, quote, "Today's actions, together with our industry partners and stakeholders, improve outdated efficiency standards." She says that they want to, I like how they couch the, or how they dovetail the, well, we want to cut harmful carbon emissions and save money / utility bills for American families. If you can afford it. Right? Because isn't this one of those things where you have to buy this bougie, super expensive water heater? And then it's, most people are broke. Do they know that? Wait, do they know that? They know everybody's like hurting because, you know, recession and all that stuff and inflation. So the, they said that they tell you all this stuff about the proposal. It does this, and it's gonna save you money. Doesn't tell you how. Doesn't tell you how much you're gonna have to spend to save said money. Right? That's always, they always do that. I just noticed they've always do that. They always act like something that they propose for green is somehow gonna save you money, and it's not. It's never done that. Not with the cash for clunkers. Not with any of that stuff. This is so goofy. So they have this, they said it's the rule, federal government would require higher efficiency for heaters that use the heat pump technology, or in the case of gas-fired water heaters, which a lot of people have, to achieve efficiency gains through condensing technology. I don't know anything about heaters. All the you know, skilled folks out there that work in this industry know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't. They said that this is the rule. This is what they're proposing. Non-condensing gas-fired heaters, they're cheaper and smaller, and they come with lower installation costs, but they don't care. They want you to add all this other stupid stuff on it. According to DOE, water heating accounts for 13% of annual residential energy use and consumer utility costs. So higher efficiency If you use heat pump technology or gas fired, you have to achieve efficiency gains through condensing technology. What does that mean? It sounds like expensive. That's what it means. And then they had a separate dishwasher regulatory proposal. Their comment period concluded Tuesday of last week on that. Why? Why? Can you just leave our appliances alone? I love it how these people, they fly on their private jets. They, you know, drive. They have motorcades. But you have to get a crappy dishwasher because you're the problem, not them. I would literally will have a standoff like Ruby Ridge or Waco style over my gas stove. I am not even remotely exaggerating because electric is horrible. And only people who don't cook or bake say that, no, it's just as good. No, it's not. Shh, it's not. Oh my gosh, I will physically fight you. They're garbage. They are the most garbage things that have ever been made. If you don't have gas, I'm going to pray for you. So they said this is their unified agenda. It's a government-wide semi-annual list that highlights regulatory agencies that are proposing or finalizing these like rules within the next year. So you have furnaces, pool pumps, battery charge, ceiling fans, dehumidifiers.
Is your ceiling fan gas powered?
What is wrong with the ceiling fan?
Because mine's not.
You flip a switch and it goes. It goes in a circle. Experts all have said that you're actually gonna diminish product quality, and it's gonna lead to higher prices. I mean, that's what, and consumers hate this. They hate this. Nobody, if you want to get something that's eco-friendly, then go ahead and do it. If you want that version of an appliance, then by all means, whoop-a-doo, it's a free country, go do it. But to force everyone out of a choice is stupid. And all of this stuff, people don't realize that your upfront costs skyrocket with us. And I don't honestly think that you're not going to earn that back in savings. Water savings or energy savings, you're not going to earn that back. That's a lie that they tell you. So that's what this is. It's their unified agenda through the DOE. We all get to pretend that they're going to basically have us like cooking over a fire pit, and we're going to be taking our clothes down and scrubbing them on a board in the river. That's what's going to be. This is better for the environment. Now I got to go hop on a private plane. Go on an unnecessary trip. I'm done with it. But they said that this was the administration that said you were all conspiracy theorists for daring to suggest that they were going to go after even something like your stove or anything. You're the problem. Not only are you the problem with your stupid stove, but now you're lying about it too. Nobody wants to go after it. By the way, here's our rule. Here's our new regulatory proposal. Who sits around and comes up with this stuff? This is what happens when you have government that's too big. Because then you got these people in these different departments, and you got to give them something to do, right? You got Jennifer Granholm. I mean, I don't know why they hired her. She has no, it's like Hunter on Burisma. Why is she there? I don't know. But they got to give busy work. Oh, Jen, come up with something. Oh, I don't know. Let's pretend that there's a crisis of energy that extends to people's personal home appliances. And then we'll create new rules for that. That's all this is busy work. We don't need all this stuff. Good heavens. But it's coming. So the one on the dishwasher, this one though, the water, I like my water heater, thank you. I like, what is it? The kind that I get that it's always hot. It's like I can't remember the name of it. It's basically like an endless hot water heater. I was like, I want that.
It just runs through tubes that are hot.
Yeah, so I don't even care how they have. I don't care if it runs through the damn pits of Mordor. I don't care. I just want it hot. Like when I have a shower, I want it a degree above skin off scalding. Because this is America. Not only did we invent all of these things, I'm not going to pretend that I live during the Ingalls time. Okay? Like we are here because of our family members that have brought us to this point, our ancestors that have brought us to this point. Let us not spit upon the successes and achievements of our ancestors by refusing to take advantage of having endless hot water in our homes, ladies and gentlemen. Let us not spit upon the achievements of our ancestors by pretending that we don't like meat and that bugs are delicious and or nutritious. Let us not spit upon the contributions and the successes and achievements of our ancestors to pretend by pretending that a gas stove is anywhere as good as an electric, because it's not. Okay. I mean, I like to honor, you know, our history, and I feel like this is, you know, a way of doing it. It's really is. And then if they keep pushing me on it, I'm going to say it's part of my religious practice or something. I will come up with something. They're never going to happen. All right, we got a couple of other things that we need to hit too, because we're going to have the Missouri Attorney General on here shortly after headlines to talk about Missouri v. Biden, you know, the free speech thing. That's going to be interesting. But also, this, I have a couple of other, I was telling you about the UPS strike. That's, they've actually come to a tentative agreement, so that looks like that may be off, thankfully. Thankfully, because we were all kind of wondering how that was going to impact everything, especially school season starting and a lot of people order school stuff online. I wanted to get to this, and I'm trying to find it, my Hunter Biden piece, because they were talking about his, what is it, his bong smoking attorney, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I saw a picture of that guy Sunday. He was on the balcony of, where was he at? He's on the balcony of some hotel or something, and he just... They were his art purchasers, because someone actually bought Hunter's art. They found out who they were. A big time Democrat donor who the president appointed to a prestigious commission. He purchased. You cannot tell me that this is not a money laundering op. Come on. The only people buying this crackhead's art are his dad's friends that he's given these commissions to. Well, that explains. It brought in $1.5 million, and one of the priciest pieces was purchased by that Democrat donor and the Biden family friend that was named to a very prestigious commission. Even though they said all of them were going to be a secret, because, you know, that makes sense. You know, we want to hide, you know, how we're laundering the money. It was an LA-based real estate investor, Elizabeth Hirsch Naftali, and a Hollywood attorney, Kevin Morris. They are some of the purchasers, two of the people who bought art. And they were like, oh, no, there's going to be an absolute wall between, you know, my president, my family's business. No. I mean, his stuff, his little amateur pieces started at $500,000. Nobody gets that. No first-time artist gets that. Nobody. Especially when they're 50 years old and they just decided to spit paint through a straw because, I don't know. So it's all, I mean, it's basically Biden family friends that did this. Buying influence, again.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Calling all the ladies! An unusual type of red wine could make your skin look younger, as a study that I am putting great scientific importance on improves the elasticity of skin as you age. A study asked 17 women aged 40 to 67 to drink two glasses of muscadine wine made from grapes native to the southeast of the U.S., It was found to improve the elasticity of skin and suggest an anti-aging effect. Of course, they took the alcohol out, so that sucks. But they said that, you know, which they said that apparently the muscadine wines are hard to find in the UK, and the red wines are typically made from a European species. So, I just think it's funny. But yes, I co-signed this study. I don't care if a vineyard put it out or not. I don't care. I totally endorse the study. 74% of college students would report professors saying something offensive. Yeah. 74% via College Fix. If they were asked if a professor says something that students find offensive, should they be reported to the university? And 74 said yes, the rest said no. I know. Some kids weren't beat enough, and it shows when they were, you know, it's discipline. Just saying. Have you heard of Facekini? No. Apparently, it's popular in China. It's a full face mask that, as temperatures rise, people have been wearing. It's not. It is not the hottest new fashion. It makes people look like they're wearing a skin mask. It's a full face mask for people. Blah blah blah. It's made out of UV resistant fabric, and so people So in China, they didn't want to develop sunspots and they didn't want to develop this other stuff. So they wear this entire thing on their face. You know, you could also wear sunblock. That's also a thing. Just saying. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, he landed a win on the 4th of July. We're going to talk about Missouri v. Biden. Stick with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Or if you just want to be informed. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also watch the simulcast of the number one show in the afternoon on everywhere. Channel 347, DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, everywhere that video is offered. One of the things that we talked about, we've followed, is this case that came out, and I'm pulling up some of the original headlines that I had about this. And in fact, the thread that first came from Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. This goes all the way back to January 6th of this year. And he had said in this, really, I mean, this thread went viral. I mean, it's like been shared like 10,000 something times. I think just one tweet has. Others have been like 20,000. He had said that they had evidence that the president was colluding, the administration was colluding with social media companies to censor differing viewpoints and silence misinformation. And this is something that we all, you know, for some of us who, you know, if you're suspended for sharing a New York Post story, or if you were shadow banned because you were asking mere questions about natural immunity, everybody was just coming across these weird penalties. And well, it's because of all of this. And then we heard Jen Psaki, you know, she's there at the White House press avail telling everyone how they were colluding and talking to these social media companies. And so Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey was explaining and going through all of these emails. Here's Twitter talking to the White House about silencing RFK Jr. And here's Twitter talking about silencing this person and that person. And so this ended up in a lawsuit, Missouri v. Biden. And it was a huge victory that the Missouri Attorney General scored on, of all days, Independence Day. But the Biden administration is not going to let go of their means of censorship without a fight. They filed an appeal. Joining us to discuss all of this from our home state, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Sir, it's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for fighting for free speech. So give us the latest, because we know the fight's ongoing and we know that this administration is not going to let go of that censorship without one.
Well, you're absolutely right. We're not going to let Joe Biden destroy the First Amendment right to free speech in the United States of America. And that's why this is so important. We've got to build a wall of separation between tech and state. The first brick of that wall was laid as a part of this lawsuit on the 4th of July. What a great way to celebrate this nation's independence by refulfilling that the promise, that legacy of freedom provided to us by the founders in the First Amendment. The whole idea behind the First Amendment is to invite dissent and discussion, have an uninhibited marketplace of ideas free from government censorship. And yet what we've uncovered as part of this lawsuit is a relationship of both coercion and collusion from the White House across a spectrum of federal bureaucratic agencies with their woke cronies and big tech social media corporations to silence American voices. And three points I want to make. Number one, they only went after core political speech. So it was illegal to take down the speech the federal government targeted on social media. But number two, all the speech they targeted as dis or malinformation happened to be true. And finally, it was exclusively conservative. So all that they want to do is weaponize big tech social media to silence any voice of opposition, which runs afoul of the legacy of freedom provided to us by the framers and ratifiers of the First Amendment.
Yeah, we're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who's been fighting on behalf of the First Amendment for all of us. Got that major win on July 4th. You mentioned something, sir, that was very important, coercion. Because in looking at all of this, and I followed your thread, there was nothing in there that indicated that it was the tech companies that approached the administration. It was the administration that was pestering and reaching out repeatedly to these tech companies saying, oh, we think this is misinformation or this might be misleading. When, as you said, it was actually truthful information. They were really driving this, weren't they?
Absolutely. Look at that thread of emails. And we're talking specifically, we have more than 20,000 pages of documents, numerous depositions, and we've only scratched the surface. But the email chain you're specifically referring to is a series of emails in March, April, and May of 2021 between the White House and Facebook. And look at how the people at the White House are treating the folks at big tech social media. I mean, first of all, they're not real sympathetic. But secondly, you know, the White House is berating them, cussing at them, making specific demands of them. And Jen Psaki from the White House podium said, hey, look, they know exactly what we're asking for here. And let's put this in context. This is after Joe Biden on both the stump and from the White House lawn had said, look, Facebook is killing people. If they don't up their censorship game, we're going to repeal or amend Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to take away their cash cow, their protection, their shield from legal liability. And so it is absolutely a coercive and collusive relationship. This is pressure coming from the White House. And it got so big so fast that the federal government actually had to create a new bureaucratic structure to manage the vast censorship enterprise. And because it's gotten that big that fast. So there were so many requests made by federal officials of big tech social media to silence truthful conservative voices in violation of the First Amendment that they had to systematize it. So this is dangerous stuff. It's getting worse, not better. These are the worst First Amendment violations in this nation's history. And we've got to build that wall of separation between tech and state now before we get into the 2024 election cycle.
Yeah. And you make a good point also, again, with the Section 230, because this was also after you had Mark Zuckerberg and all of these other tech representatives sitting before Congress. And of course, you know, they're there before a Democrat administration. You know, they have a Democrat Senate, you have a Democrat president. I mean, of course, they're probably going to be more inclined and more receptive to these, you know, collusion offers, because these are the people who might be, you know, however, you know, whether the legislation is credible or not, they're the ones who are going to be driving the legislation, passing the legislation. So they're kind of, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place on that.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, they are predisposed to go in lockstep with the federal government, but they were the federal government was making really specific demands: take down that Tommy Lahren post, take down that Tucker Carlson post, silence any voice that questions the vaccine, you know, the effectiveness of the vaccine or effectiveness of masks. And COVID was really just the Trojan horse to get the enemy behind the walls. We know that it's expanded to election integrity issues. It's expanded to global warming issues, questioning transgender rights and so forth. So the federal government is dedicated to this censorship enterprise. It's gotten too big, too fast, and too unwieldy. And that's why they're appealing. If you read the 155-page court order that came down on the 4th of July, the very end of it is telling. And all the court is saying is that the federal government is prohibited from coercing and colluding with big tech social media to silence core political speech. That was speech that was always protected by the First Amendment. All the court is saying is don't violate the Constitution. Well, what is there to appeal? Why is the federal government that committed to censorship, to violating our constitutional rights to free speech, but for a nefarious purpose?
There are also those talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who, you know, other people celebrated Independence Day with fireworks. He celebrated by getting this massive First Amendment win. I mean, that's a way to say it's probably the most American celebration. You win the award on that. That's a pretty good one.
I was flipping burgers with one hand and reading 155-page court order with the other.
God bless America. Woo! Somewhere an eagle smiled if they could. So this the whole idea of, because you have private enterprise with tech, and then you have, you know, obviously big government, this government. It's one thing if you are, you know, a private entity that decides to do something of your own volition. But the way that the nature of this relationship, by, you know, everything that we've seen publicly, the emails, the discussions, everything, they were acting as agents of state. They were no longer acting like individual privately owned companies at this point, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And therein lies the problem. Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act has been used as both a sword and a shield by these big tech social media corporations. And that makes them vulnerable to coercion from the federal government. We, like I said, we know that both Vice President Kamala Harris and President Joe Biden have threatened repeal or amendment of Section 230 of the CDA. We know that they've also threatened antitrust litigation against these companies if they don't do the federal government's bidding. And then the federal government created a structure to systematize and channelize that those specific requests targeting core political speech of conservatives on big tech social media. And social media was happy to go along. And that's why the wall separation is so important. I mean, at the end of the day, Section 230 of the CDA has been misinterpreted by the courts. Yes. And it's allowed this monopoly to go on. And that's not good for freedom. It's not good for open market competition. And at the end of the day, Americans suffer for that.
Yeah. And we've talked about Section 230 on this program a lot, because I in the early days, like, I understand where it came from. We talked about the history of it, its creation. But at the same time, if you have something that is acting as a publisher, and, you know, and I know that the actual law doesn't talk about platforms or social media companies, but if you're acting as a publisher, you know, algorithm, you can editorialize with algorithms. People need to realize that we're in, you know, a new digital era, and that editorialization extends beyond just words. It gets into coding. It gets into the way that things are presented, you know, online. That's editorialization, and everyone else is protected, but or everyone else has liability if, you know, they run afoul of that. But social media companies, you know, unless they're acting fairly, then you're acting as a publisher. That's editorialization.
That's absolutely right. I mean, no one would accept it if you were talking on your cell phone and you started saying something the cell phone company didn't like, and the cell phone company started muting you. And that, no one would accept that. And that's what's going on when big tech social media censoring conservative voices. But what I'm talking about is way worse, because here it's being done at the behest of the government. And if you go back to those emails from Rob Flaherty and the White House digital strategies team there in March, April, and May of 2021, he is specifically saying, take down that post. That is the federal government making a demand after having threatened to remove the civil liability, prohibition on civil liability for these companies. So they had an economic incentive to do the federal government's bidding. They're absolutely acting on the government's behalf. It's a third party. You know, at the end of the day, the federal government can't do through a third party what it's prohibited from doing directly. And I go back to the court order of July 4th. All he's saying, all the judge is saying is, don't violate the Constitution. Well, why are we in such a rush to appeal that? And so, I think people are beginning to understand how bad this was. You know, thank goodness Elon Musk bought Twitter and opened up the Twitter files. But there's no such thing as the Facebook files or the Instagram files. There's no equivalent on these other big tech platforms. That's why this lawsuit's so important. It's the first step in uncovering some of this misfeasance, malfeasance, and some of this coercion and collusion on behalf of the federal government.
You noted that they were so quick to file. I mean, July 5th, the next day, they filed the appeal.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are dedicated to this vast censorship enterprise. They think that they get to control what is and isn't true, when in fact, it's the American public that gets to make that determination. The First Amendment is designed to protect us from government. And instead of protecting our rights, in this instance, President Biden and his federal cohorts are violating our rights and denying us the ability to build consensus about what we believe. Yeah. And that clearly is the whole purpose of the First Amendment.
So this, the current, so this goes, I think, tell us the latest status of this, because I know with the appeal, I don't think there's going to be movement until later next month, correct?
Yeah, August 10th. So we'll be back in court on August 10th at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've got a 3-judge panel that'll hear argument on the merits of this. And then we'll be back down at the district court level. You know, our hope would be that, and our expectation is, based on our good legal position, the court, we put on evidence back in May, and that justified the preliminary injunction. And the quantum of evidence we adduced was sufficient to convince the judge that there were likely constitutional violations on behalf of the federal government. And so that's why the nationwide injunction was important. We're going to defend that at the Fifth Circuit, all the way up to the United States Supreme Court if we have to. Eventually, we'll end up back at the trial court. We're going to get to the meat and potatoes. We've only begun to scratch the surface of this vast censorship enterprise. Again, COVID was the Trojan horse that got the enemy behind the gates. We know it's expanded, but we don't know how far yet. So we've got to leave no stone unturned as we root out this vast censorship enterprise and continue to build that wall of separation between tech and state.
Last quick thing for you, and that was a great point, that was the COVID was the Trojan horse, because they were able, the state was able to get so much power for itself, whether it's mask mandates, whether it's, I mean, a million different things. I think this really sets, this is a major precedent that this threatens to set with speech. Just reinforce to everyone listening across the country and people watching the simulcast how important this decision is going to be.
Yeah. Do we want the federal government telling us what we should and shouldn't be allowed to talk about on big tech social media? These are the worst First Amendment violations in this nation's more than 200-year history. This will absolutely make it to the United States Supreme Court. This will be a precedential case, and we're going to stand up and fight for freedom. We're not going to let Joe Biden destroy free speech in America.
There you go. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Sir, we appreciate your fight. Thank you so much for keeping an eye on this and celebrating the most American way I can imagine. God bless you.
Hey, thanks, Dan. All the best to you and your listeners.
Thank you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour. And he's absolutely correct, too. I'll put all this information for you, and I'll put it, I'm going to have a little wrap-up email that I'm going to send out tonight, because I just have too much information to load you up with in the morning. So I'm going to send out for you subscribers to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter that I send out that goes out through Substack, because you got a doozy this morning. I'm going to make sure I break that up a little bit, so you have something a little to chew on tonight. I don't want to overwhelm you. But this is such an important case. Literally the next day, they were ready to file an appeal on this. You gotta be kidding me. But he's right. It is a Trojan horse. They were able to use coronavirus on so many things. And then real quick before we go, did you see that this is I like what Elon Musk does, but also I got questions. Like when we were talking, we mentioned this very briefly yesterday. I feel like we need to have Carol Roth on specifically on this issue. When they're talking about adding the payment structure to Twitter.
Yes.
Okay. Does that not, like, you're listening to the Missouri Attorney General talk about this, and then you're thinking, do I want any kind of payment facilitation wedded to my social media account? I mean, I literally told someone to get bent yesterday. That was like my exact words. You know, like I just, was it the nicest thing to say? No. Was it deserved? Yes. Should it be hooked up to a, no, it should not be hooked up to paying anything. I feel like we need to have that conversation. All right, as we get moving, there's a lot of conversations.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
And you can find us on YouTube, where we have all of our discussions right up there, and the official page on Facebook. Find that as well. Am I robbing you of time? Do I need to
go? No, actually, if we do it now, we can.
Okay, yeah, today in stupidity. All right, I was just going to do a whole other hour.
I know. President Biden had a lot of stupid stuff. But no. Apparently, he's against choice for Americans, believe it or not. I'm actually not surprised to hear it at all. This is Biden talking about what you should learn. Mm-hmm. Listen to this.
It's clear, crystal clear. We can't just choose to learn what we want to know.
What?
We have to learn what we should know.
Have to?
We should know about our country. We should know everything. The good, the bad, the truth.
And the false.
Who we are as a nation. Yeah,
we get it.
That's what great nations do.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Hmm.
As they're pushing false narratives out of Florida, thanks to the VP and more.
Completely false narratives, but you know. But they're counting on you to not read. They're like, oh, this is Florida. You're not going to go and look up what they're putting in there.
You can't
academic.
Just choose to learn what you want to know, Dan.
Yeah, you can't just choose to learn what you want. What? All right, folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you subscribe to Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find me on social, and I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. We made it halfway through the week. Yay!